Surveillance methodologies. The selection of an appropriate methodology depends on the intended scope of a program. An IP can choose total/comprehensive or targeted/priority-directed methodologies or use some combination of both. The IP must consider whether the surveillance will be prospective, retrospective, or concurrent, and whether it will focus on outcomes or processes. These methodologies and considerations are not mutually exclusive. An IP should identify the most appropriate approach in consideration of the timeliness of data collection. For example, a comprehensive methodology can use either a retrospective information gathering or concurrent approach. It is imperative to identify the priorities and objectives of the facility prior to creating a surveillance plan. The IP must understand how this information will be shared and used within the facility. The chosen methodology will also depend on the complexity of the facility, size, location, population served, services provided, resources available, etc. For example, a healthcare facility located in a small, rural community with a stable population will likely have a different set of infection risks than a large, urban-based facility that provides rehabilitation services to a fluctuating population of patients. To address these concerns adequately, the IP must have a clear understanding of the data collection and use priorities and objectives of the facility. The collection of data without knowing what is needed is a waste of time, effort, and money. The IP cannot, therefore, collect data first and then afterward hope to figure out what's necessary. Staff working on surveillance may become frustrated if they feel they are collecting unnecessary or unused information and data. This may in turn reduce the efficacy of their work. Determining data to collect, collection frequency, and methods of collection are important surveillance design components that are addressed elsewhere. The two traditional surveillance methodologies, total/comprehensive, sometimes called whole house, and targeted/priority-directed, are introduced in Exhibit 1-5. Exhibit 1-5, Advantages and Disadvantages of Surveillance Methodologies. Key point. Even beyond the types of surveillance we will cover, there are many others that may be discussed. For example, some entities refer to laboratory-based surveillance, which monitors diagnostic samples and other samples sent to laboratories to spot potential outbreaks, often using whole genome sequencing. However, this could also be considered a form of total or comprehensive surveillance, applied to a larger population such as a state or a nation, by public health. In the pursuit of clarity, we will cover the largest, most common forms of surveillance utilized today. For additional information, check with your local public health organization or organizations such as the World Health Organization, WHO, or Centers for Disease Prevention and Control, CDC. Total/comprehensive. Total surveillance measures and tracks all infections at a facility across its entire population of patients and HCP. In some facilities, this is done as a joint effort between IPC personnel and members of other departments, such as those in an employee/occupational health department. In others, the IPC personnel may have full responsibility for these activities. In addition to tracking all HAIs, specific subsets need to be tracked separately because crude overall rates are not sensitive enough to identify potential problems. This approach is also known as comprehensive or whole house surveillance. It provides the big picture to IPs and other personnel at a healthcare facility and is effective at detecting infectious disease events, largely because it assigns resources to finding any and all of them. Total surveillance can be a time-consuming and costly approach. Not only does it track more events, but it also generates more information and data, all of which need to be collected, compiled, analyzed, and disseminated. Depending on the situation in the facility, this can be overwhelming for the IPC team. All of this means that many facilities are unable to use this methodology, especially larger and more complex healthcare facilities and those without stable populations. That is, facilities that have a sizable short-term patient population. Targeted/priority-directed. It is becoming more and more common for surveillance programs to be focused on a narrow selection of infections and pathogens. This approach is known as priority-directed or targeted surveillance. By referencing the risk assessment, applicable regulations, and keeping in mind quality assurance and improvement goals, this approach focuses on high-risk, high-volume procedures and potentially preventable infections and events. A targeted surveillance program might focus on one or more of the following: units within the healthcare facility, Example, ICU, nursery, rehabilitation, memory care. Infections related to invasive procedures or medical devices, such as intravascular and urinary catheters or endoscopes. Epidemiologically significant organisms or illnesses. Example, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, MRSA. Carbapenem-resistant Enterobacteriales, CRE, other EMDR, OS, and Clostridioides difficile. Sharps injuries and staph exposure to blood/body fluids. A targeted surveillance program can offer considerable benefits for a facility and its patients, especially because particular risks can be more easily identified as needing attention. Targeted surveillance is ostensibly easier and more practical because it is not attempting to monitor every risk. This approach requires the IP and their team to understand completely the risk assessment and what it outlines. It can reduce infection rates through efficient use of resources. This methodology can be used for certain infections, but a periodic review of information for sentinel, patient safety-related events that result in death, permanent harm or severe temporary harm, or emerging pathogens of significance should be made to ensure that communicable diseases on the reportable disease list are incorporated into the surveillance plan. Combination. Combined surveillance can help address some of the disadvantages inherent in the total and targeted methodologies. This is done by targeting specific infections that occur within the population of the facility for dedicated surveillance. For example, laboratory reports can be monitored housewide to detect EMDR-OS. Example, MRSA and vancomycin-resistant enterococci VRE, reportable diseases, organisms of epidemiological importance, and clusters that may indicate an outbreak or breakdown of infection prevention practices. Example, several cases of diarrhea associated with C. difficile on a medical care unit. At the same time, the IP and their team should continue to monitor wider HAI rates and laboratory reports from across the facility. By combining targeted surveillance goals with surveillance of process measures throughout the facility, an IP and their team can monitor facility-specific priority risks while still maintaining a sense of the bigger picture. Key point: it is important to select an appropriate surveillance and data collection methodology. When choosing a methodology, IPs should consider their facility's needs and requirements, available resources, and identified goals and objectives. Syndromic surveillance. Syndromic surveillance is the collection and analysis of non-traditional data, such as rates of influenza-like illness or number of emergency department patients, for early detection of an infectious disease disaster. Syndromic surveillance relies on rapid reporting of certain symptoms that might indicate the emergence of a significant health event in a community, for example, a potentially virulent respiratory disease, like COVID-19, or a bioterrorism event, like anthrax. Symptoms such as respiratory distress, vomiting, and fever are tracked, and increases are reported to public health departments even before a diagnosis is confirmed. Health departments are able to analyze the data from health providers, identify widespread outbreaks or clusters, and share this information with other providers. Traditionally, syndromic surveillance was based on reports from emergency and urgent care settings. However, advances in health information technology have allowed for broader surveillance efforts. The concept of syndromic surveillance has evolved over time to encompass more than just syndrome-related data. Syndromic surveillance now includes any leading indicator that might signal an increase in illness in the community, including the use of epidemiological trends and proxy measures. Here are some examples. Each would be analyzed for a specific time period, such as per day, week, month, or other time period to show trends. Number of patients seen in an emergency department. Number of patients presenting to the emergency department with flu-like illness as their chief symptom. Number of patients admitted to a hospital. Number of EMS or ambulance runs. Number of purchases of over-the-counter flu remedies. Number of purchases of over-the-counter diarrhea medications. Frequency of symptoms or syndromes entered into online symptom checkers. Any other data from healthcare facilities or agencies indicating changes in trends. Syndromic surveillance has subtypes. One example is animal syndromic surveillance, which is important because more than 60% of human emerging infectious diseases are zoonotic. An infectious disease outbreak among animals may be the precursor to human illness in a community. An example is surveillance for West Nile virus, which includes testing samples from dead birds, sentinel chickens, mosquito pools, horses, and humans. Syndromic surveillance indicators must be evaluated in relation to facility and community illness baselines and current trends. Any upward trend or sharp increase must be assessed as soon as possible to determine if an infectious disease disaster has occurred. Syndromic surveillance data collection and analysis must be a component of facility and community emergency management. It should be a multi-agency endeavor, involving coordination and communication between hospitals, healthcare agencies, long-term care, home health, and public health. All healthcare agencies, including long-term care and home health, should consider conducting syndromic surveillance, especially in emergency departments, hospital clinics, and occupational health departments. Syndromic surveillance programs should be coordinated with local public health agencies to provide consistency in data collection and ensure adequate coverage across regions. Internationally, a good option for syndromic surveillance is online symptom checkers. These sites provide real-time data that has been found to be more beneficial than healthcare provider telephone triage systems for monitoring worldwide trends in illness. While syndromic surveillance has been shown to provide early warning benefits and to enhance collaboration between care providers, it is important for all IPs and other HCP to understand that it is not a substitute for direct physician reporting of unusual health events and symptoms. Wastewater surveillance. Surveillance of wastewater or wastewater-based epidemiology can be an efficient method for detecting community-level disease outbreaks and other risks to public health. According to the U.S. Government Accountability Office, GAO, wastewater surveillance can provide public health officials with valuable information and data to use in monitoring and identifying emerging threats from pathogens. Example, SARS-CoV-2, antibiotic-resistant bacteria, influenza, and dangerous or unusual levels of certain chemicals. Example, pesticides, household cleaners, prescription, and illicit drugs. Tracking COVID-19 outbreaks has been a recent example of the use of wastewater surveillance. In the United States, the CDC launched their National Wastewater Surveillance System, NWSS, developed to track the presence of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, in wastewater samples collected from across the country. In Canada, the province of Ontario has been using wastewater surveillance to predict outbreaks in the province and adjust strategies and resource allocation accordingly. Wastewater surveillance provides public health officials and healthcare providers data that can be used as an early warning system, which in turn allows them to provide faster responses to emerging threats and risks. While there are some challenges still to large-scale coordination, the U.S. GAO has outlined what benefits wastewater surveillance can provide at different levels and scales within society, as shown in Exhibit 1-6. Exhibit 1-6. Wastewater Surveillance Scales. Source, adapted from U.S. General Accountability Office, GAO, Science and Tech Spotlight. Wastewater Surveillance, April 12, 2022.